The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be my servant. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus said to them, "The voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lent is almost over. Holy Week is just around the corner. That beautiful week that begins on Palm Sunday and ends with that resurrection song that is begun Easter morning. There's something about Lent. As Catholics, we often give things up for Lent. And I'll have to confess, I don't really like phrasing the question this way. You might ask someone, "So what did you give up for Lent?" That's a very Catholic question, right? What did you give up for Lent? I don't like it being phrased that way. I'd rather phrase it in a different way. And I'll tell you what that is in a little bit. We're reading from John's Gospel. And Jesus is talking about his coming sacrifice on the cross, right? He actually said these words probably around Bethany, just around the week before he died on the cross. So he knows what's coming, right? He knows that his passion is just around the corner. He begins to say things more seriously to the apostles. And as he talks about his sacrifice, he says, it will be like a grain of wheat that dies to bear fruit. Now, John, the apostle, is writing this gospel, so he has... There's a line that John makes sure is included when he writes this years and years later. You see, Jesus then said, "And where I am, there my servant will be." Jesus was talking about his servants that will be at the foot of the cross, right? This is in the context of his suffering, his passion. And of all the apostles, right, John was the only one who made it there, right? The rest were too scared to be there, but John was at the foot of the cross, so maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder a little bit. He wants everyone to know he was there. "Where I am, there my servant will be." I think St. John, though, is humble enough that he was writing it to invite all of us to, in our way, in big ways and small ways, to make sure that we're at the foot of the cross as well, that we participate in our Lord's sacrifice. And that's the way I think the question should be phrased. That word sacrifice is so meaningful and powerful for us as Catholics. What does it actually mean? something that humans have been doing since the beginning of time, right? And archaeologists have discovered that in the most ancient of civilizations, we've found that man is religious, that they've made sacrifices. And this is something our ancient ancestors were doing. They were maybe taking some of the harvest fruit, right? These grains from the harvest, and they would then burn them so that the smoke would go up to the heavens, and they would be thanking God or the gods for his blessings. It was a way of giving up something today to receive blessings tomorrow. And in many ways, that same theme has come to us through our Jewish forefathers in the faith and through our Christian traditions. We're called to make sacrifice. So it comes from a Latin word. And again, just you'll make sure you all fact-checked me later on this, because I failed Greek and Latin in the seminary. So sacrifice comes from two Latin words, sacra facere. Sacra is the word that we get sacred from. So sacra means holy. And facere is a verb which means to make. So a sacrifice is to make something holy. And so the question should rather be, so what is your Lenten sacrifice? Right? What part of your life will you make holy in an effort to be at the foot of the cross with Jesus? Now, this is something actually very beautiful. It might sound kind of frightening or something hard to do, but let me give you an example from my own life. When we're giving up things during Lent, we're making Lenten sacrifices. It's helping us to be able to maybe say no to something really good so that we could say yes to something even better. One of my hobbies I've talked a little bit about is oil painting. And in my free times, whenever I can get them, I like to, you know, do some oil painting. It's not something you can just start doing right away. It takes a lot of setup, right, to get the oil paints in the way you need them to actually paint. You know, you have to open up the tubes of paint and mix them with more oil, and then mix those together to make different colors, and then got to get the canvas ready and prime that, and then you got to find your brushes. Make sure they're ready, and then you need all your cleaning supplies because oil paint's very messy. Before you even start painting, you know, you need to make sure you put on like an old shirt or something because oil paint's not going to come out. So, you know, it's like a 20-minute process to get ready to paint. And you get your brush in the paint, and you're just about to touch the canvas, and my phone rings. And one of our parishioners needs a priest at the hospital, and it's an emergency, and I need to go. And I'm holding the brush in my hand. And of course, I want to go, but I also want to paint. And I'm going to leave the paint there, and it's going to dry and be a mess when I get back, but I'll go. I want to be a good priest. I want to be there. To say no to that oil painting moment, which is something so good, you have to sort of form a little bit of your will. You have to make holy that moment. So the Penguins won today in hockey. I like watching hockey too. A lot of men here probably like watching hockey or sports. And you know what happens? Sometimes you're watching and it's great because you just sit there in front of the TV and you're in your nothing box, right? It's just great. Nothing's happening. And then maybe your wife walks in and she needs to talk to you. How beautiful it is to make holy that moment when you take the remote and you turn off the TV for a few minutes to talk with your wife. That's a beautiful way of sacrificing, of making holy that part of your life. What a beautiful way to love your wife. That's why many men you'll hear when they say, my Lenten sacrifice is to not watch sports. It's not because sports are bad, they're great, but it's making holy something to live better tomorrow. Or maybe your parents here with little kids, it can be exhausting, right? And they're there and they need you, but you're on your phone and social media and someone just posted something amazing. They're getting married or they're going to have a child, and it's you want to share that, but your child needs your time, and putting the phone away to give your child your full attention. That's a beautiful way of making holy that moment, which is why many people, many Catholics, give up social media for Lent. or our university students that are here, right? You have a big exam coming up, you got your physics book there, and you have an exam tomorrow morning, but you know there's a party happening just down the road. To make holy that moment, I will live my life today and make it holy to be better prepared for tomorrow. Or our children here, often when in Lent, what do? Right? You give up chocolates and sweets and things. Those are great, and there's nothing wrong with eating chocolates and sweets, but to be able to sacrifice that to make it holy will help you to be able to say yes and be prompt and obedient when mom and dad say, clean your room. There's many ways to make our lives holy, to live this beautiful word, which is to sacrifice. And so today, I just leave that question for you, right? What is your Lenten sacrifice? How will you make holy today? The church calls the following week to come. At Palm Sunday, we begin Holy Week. That's a beautiful question to also ask. How will I make Holy Week holy, right? How will I be with Jesus where he needs me the most? Palm Sunday or Holy Thursday, we have a beautiful Mass in the evening. On Good Friday, we have the Way of the Cross traditions, a talk about the cross called the Seven Last Words talk. If you've never been to one of those, we have one planned. And then Holy Saturday, that time of waiting, right? Spending time with the Blessed Mother. So many ways to make Holy Week holy. So hopefully we'll no longer maybe think of Lent as just the time to give up chocolate, right? It's a beautiful time that we as Catholic Christians have this wonderful tradition, right, of making each and every day of our lives holy, to be at the foot of the cross where Jesus needs us the most. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.